بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. My dear brothers and sisters, today's topic is about nationalism, and we will clarify the fact that nationalism is prohibited in Islam, as nationalism is a concept alien, strange, and unfamiliar to Islam, because it calls for unity based on family and tribal ties, whereas Islam binds people together on the aqidah, creed, that is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam calls for the ideological bond. Grouping the Muslims on tribal lines is clearly forbidden. It is narrated by Abu Dawood that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ دَعَى إِلَىٰ عَصَبِيَّةٍ وَلَيْسَ مِنَّا من قاتل على عصبية وليس منا من مات على عصبية. He is not one of us who calls for عصبية, that's nationalism, tribalism, or who fights for عصبية, or who dies for عصبية. And in another hadith, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, referring to nationalism, racism, and patriotism, said, دعوها فإنها منتنة. Leave it, it is rotten. And this hadith was narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. There are many examples in the seerah, that's in the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, where the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم had rebuked those who upheld nationalism. On one occasion, a party of Jews conspired to bring about disunity in the ranks of the Muslims after seeing the Aus and Khazraj with Islam. And those two tribes were the tribes who gave protection and Nusra to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. A youth from amongst them was sent to incite remembrance of the Battle of Bu'ath, where the Aus had been victorious over the Khazraj. And he recited poetry to bring about division between them. As a result, there was a call to arms. When the news reached the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, O Muslims, remember Allah. Remember Allah, that's ittaqullah, ittaqullah. Will you act as pagans while I am present with you after Allah has guided you to Islam and honored you thereby and made a clean break with paganism, delivered you thereby from disbelief and made you friends thereby? When they heard this, they wept and embraced each other. This incident clearly highlights how the Messenger of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rebuked any forms of tribalism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared, and die not except in a state of Islam, with complete submission to Allah, and hold fast, all of you together, to the rope of Allah, and be not divided among yourselves. And remember, with gratitude, Allah's favor on you, Allah's favors on you, for you were enemies, and He joined your hearts in love, so that by His grace you became brothers, and you were on the brink of the pit of fire, and He saved you from it. Thus Allah make His signs clear to you, that you may be guided. It is narrated by Qatada that Ibn Abi Hatim said that in the verses quoted above, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered the Muslims to hold fast to the book of Allah, His deen, and to His covenant. And He has forbidden the Muslims to divide amongst themselves and to dispute with each other. It is transmitted by At-Tabarani and Al-Hakim that in one incident some people spoke very lowly about Salman Al-Farisi. They spoke of the inferiority of the Persian in relation to the Arabs. And upon hearing this, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared, Salman is from us, the Ahlul Bayt, that's the Prophet's family. This statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam disassociates all kinds based, all links rather, based on lineage and tribal considerations. It was also transmitted in two different versions by Ibn al-Mubarak in his two books, Al-Birr and As-Salah, that some disagreement occurred between Abu Dharr and Bilal. And Abu Dharr said to Bilal, "You son of a black woman." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was extremely upset by Abu Dharr's comment, so he sallallahu alaihi wasallam rebuked him by saying, "That is too much, Abu Dharr. He who has a white mother has no advantage, which makes him better than the son of a black mother." This rebuke had a profound effect on Abu Dharr, who then put his head on the ground, swearing that he would not raise it until Bilal had put his foot over it. These incidents demonstrate that tribal ties have no place in Islam. Muslims are commanded to stick together and not to disassociate themselves from each other just because they come from different tribes. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم كمثل الجسد إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى له سائر الأعضاء بالسهر والحمى. The believers in their love, mutual kindness, and close ties are like one body. When any part complains, the whole body responds to it with a wakefulness and fever. This is narrated by Muslim. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, لا فضل لعربي على أعجمي ولا لأحمر على أسود إلا بالتقوى. An Arab is no better than a non-Arab. In return, a non-Arab is no better than an Arab. A red-raced man was not better than a black one, except in piety. Mankind is all Adam's children, and Adam was created out of clay. كلكم لآدم وآدم من تراب. narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Musa radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. Meaning that the Muslims, whether they are of Chinese, African, European or Asian origin, are one ummah and they cannot be separated from each other. No tribal ties should ever break their unity. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Furthermore, and the believers are brothers. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the faithful are but brothers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Some people claim that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved of nationalism, because during the migration to Medina, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Mecca with tears in his eyes, "You are the most beloved land of Allah to me." However, this saying has nothing to do with nationalism, and this can be seen from the full saying, which people often do not quote. "You are the most beloved land of Allah to me because you are the most beloved land of Allah to Allah." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam love for Mecca was based on the noble status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Mecca, not because he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born there. All Muslims should have this love and affection for Mecca, because it is the most beloved land in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all, the Muslims pray towards Mecca and go there to perform Hajj there, as it houses the Kaaba. The above saying of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam therefore has nothing to do with nationalism. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Muhajireen amongst the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'een, may Allah pleased with them all, were tied to the homeland of Mecca, they would have settled in Mecca after it became part of the Islamic State. And in fact, they didn't do so, and they stayed in Medina or returned to Medina. Not only does Islam forbid people from grouping on nationalistic ties, but it also prohibits the establishment of more than one state where these states are based on nationalism or otherwise. The only state that is allowed for the Muslims is the Islamic State, which is a state that is governed exclusively by Islam, and we call it Khilafa. They call it in English Caliphate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, saying, وَأَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ عَمَّا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَاحْذَرْهُمْ أَنْ يَفْتِنُوكَ عَنْ بَعْضِ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ, and rule between them by that which Allah revealed to you, and do not follow their vain desires away from the truth which came to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَاحْذَرْهُمْ أَنْ يَفْتِنُوكَ عَنْ بَعْضِ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ, and rule between them by that which Allah revealed to you, and do not follow their whims, and beware, be on the alert that they may deviate you away from even some part of what Allah revealed to you. The speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a speech to his Ummah, unless specific evidence comes to restrict this. In this case, there is no such restriction, and so it becomes obligatory for the Muslims to rule according to Islam, and ruling according to Islam leaves no room for nationalistic constitutions whatsoever, because what is applied and what forms forms the criteria for judgment is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ruling according to Islam can only be achieved in one state with one khilafah and one khalifa. It is reported in Muslim that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As narrated that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, وَمَنْ بَايَعَ إِمَامًا فَأَعْطَاهُ صَفْقَةَ يَدِهِ وَثَمَرَةَ قَلْبِهِ فَلْيُطِعْهُ إِنْ اسْتَطَاعَ فَإِنْ جَاءَ آخَرُ يُنَازِعُهُ فَاضْرِبُوا عُنُقَ الْآخَرِ. He who gave the bay'ah, this pledge of allegiance, to an imam, giving him the clasp of his hand and the fruit of his heart, has to obey him as long as he can. If another comes to dispute with him his authority, strike the neck of that person. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا بُيْعَ لِخَلِيفَتَيْنِ فَاقْتُلُوا الْآخِرَ مِنْهُمَا. If a bay'ah is taken for two caliphs or two khulafa caliphs, kill the latter one. And Arfaja said that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِذَا كُنْتُمُ أَمْرُكُمْ جَمِيعٌ وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَشُقَّ عَصَاكُمْ وَيُفَرِّقَ جَمَاعَتَكُمْ فَاقْتُلُوهُ. If someone comes to you when you are united over one man and wants to break your strength and divide your unity, kill him. This unity of Muslims was clearly highlighted in the document that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote when he established the Islamic State in Medina. In this document, which was to regulate the relationships of Muslims and non-Muslims in the Islamic State, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding the Muslims, وَأَنَّ ذِمَّةَ اللَّهِ بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَّهُمْ أُمَّةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ. Allah's covenant amongst them is one, and the believers are brothers to the exclusion of others, and the peace of the believers is indivisible. سِلْمُهُمْ وَاحِدَةٌ وَحَرْبُهُمْ وَاحِدَةٌ. Their war is indivisible too. No separate peace shall be made with believers are fighting in the way of Allah. These statements serve to indicate that Muslims are one body, and they are not to be treated separately. Furthermore, the obligation of having one state and not many nationalist states also comes from the ijma' of the Sahaba, that's the consensus of Sahaba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiyallahu anhum jami'an. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them, convened to discuss the appointment of the Khalifa in the courtyard of Bani Sa'idah. One person had proposed that the Ansar should elect their own emir and the Muhajireen their own. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu narrated the hadith that forbids the Ummah from having more than one leader. Thus, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum never allowed more than one ruler, and their consensus is a legitimate evidence for us. Islam therefore leaves no room for the Saudi state, an Egyptian state, or Malaysian state, or Iranian state, or a Pakistani state, etc. Islam calls for the state with one ruler, where all Muslims are bound by the Aqidah of Islam. And this is a matter decided by Islam, to which we must submit to. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. O mankind, verily we have created you from a male and a female, and made you peoples and tribes, so that you may recognize each other. Verily, the most honored of you to Allah is he who safeguards himself against evil with full awareness of divine laws. Verily, Allah is all-knowing, all-aware. Now, this verse destroys the basis of nationalism in Islam. And those who still uphold nationalism, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And let those who oppose the messenger's commandment beware, lest some fitna or disbelief, trials, afflictions befall them, or a painful torment be inflicted on them. Finally, I would like to summarize in a few points the nationalism and the stance of Islam from nationalism. Number one is the intellectual leaders of nationalism are non-Muslims. And you may refer to their names. You will find all of them were non-Muslims, Christians or non-believers, and its political leaders, I mean the political leaders of nationalism, are all of them corrupt, either writers or politicians. Now, point number two is separation Islam from Arabs is bad for both. And both suffered. Islam suffered, and the Arabs and also the non-Arabs suffer as well. Point number three is nationalism were used to divide the Islamic world and demolish the caliphate. That was some 100 years ago. Point number four is the unmistakable reality is that under the national regimes, Muslims suffered quite a lot, Arabs and non-Arabs. And anybody who watched the situation in the Arab world in particular and the Islamic world in general, you'll authenticate this statement. And still the Muslims and Arabs and non-Arabs are considered part of the third world, and they are almost backward in every aspect and respect of life. Point number five is, I would like to say in brief, nationalism is the cancer of the century. One last point I would like to say is there is no other alternative for Muslims but to reject nationalism and adopt Islam and Islam only. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who sincerely work hard for the resumption of the Islamic life by establishing the Khilafah state, the second rightly guided Khilafah state, according to the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that Khilafah come soon into existence. جزاكم الله خيرا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.